It's time for our Encourage update. And Encourage, their office is at 478 East Grand Avenue here in Wisconsin Rapids. And you can reach them by phone by calling 715-423-3863. Well, last week I had the honor of being your MC or host of the picnic, and that was a lot of fun. And today we have Encourage staff members Corey Anthonson and Jenny Harms here. We're going to talk about first and begin with a community picnic recap. Yikes, I never saw so many people in my life. I mean, I started off and I just saw the crowd grow. And, you know, it was quite the evening and it was warm like it's going to be tonight. But everybody looked like they were having ice. And what was cool, all the young families.
Absolutely. So we had a great turnout last week, and thank you so much, Carl, for emceeing yet again. It was your fifth community picnic, correct?
Yeah.
You've been at all five?
Yep. I've been there. So I've been, It's become a tradition.
Well, it's a tradition for us as well. So we were thankful for the weather last week. It may have been a little bit warm, but it didn't deter. So we had about over 7,000 people at the event. The year prior, we had over 5,000. So that's a significant increase. But you're right. There was a diverse crowd this year. It was fabulous. We had a lot of young families, lots of children, lots of older adults. It was amazing.
Yeah, and that was cool. See the interaction. I saw families, young families with grandma and grandpa. Mm-hmm. They were enjoying themselves. Hey, kids, go over to the house. Follow Grandpa. He's going to the bounce house. You know, my vantage point, I could see a lot of different things.
I bet you could.
and that was the fun part about it. It just made my heart warm when I saw stuff like that.
Yeah, we saw a great display of community last week. It was fabulous to see people offering to help each other,
carry
their food back to their places. Or, you know, you see someone walking and they may have dropped something. Other people were so quick to help. People really being conscientious about making sure that they cleaned up after themselves.
Yes.
So we can't thank the community enough. At the end of the night when we were doing cleanup, it was very minimal. I mean, people did a good job of taking care of this place. They did a fabulous job. So we were pleasantly surprised, but at the same time, we were not, because we know who lives here and we know who our neighbors are. And last week's opportunity gave everyone a chance to come together and really get to know who we all are as a community, but also who we are as individuals.
And I had a whole bunch of people coming up to me and going, "Where's the donation jar?"
Mm-hmm.
I had one lady had a wad of bills in her hands, and she wanted to, she goes, well, and I'm going, just get her over, okay, ma'am, it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, and I heard there were a number of people that, you know, here. Thank you for the picnic. Let's do it again next year.
Sure. The opportunity for folks who were interested in donating was at the giveaway center, so people could donate there or as well onto the EncourageCF.org website, and they could donate there. But people gave to the picnic in so many different ways through their time, talent, and treasure. And so we had musicians performing for the night. We had our own Chelsea Mazurek's daughter singing and dancing up there. But we had over $47,000 in food donations from vendors this year. We had 61 partners in the community picnic this year. So from to how do we get ice for those ice tubs to have the water and juice? Well, Ron's Refrigeration provided the ice. So that's not something people would traditionally think about. What can I give to a picnic? Well, they gave us ice.
Mm-hmm.
Harold brought his corn. We had vendors who supplied the rugs to go over the electrical cords so people wouldn't be tripping.
Right.
We had Current Technologies helping us with power so that we could have all those fabulous food vendors. So the partnerships were amazing. And that being said, we had over 400 volunteers.
That was amazing. And it was so, and I heard this from picnic participants, some of whom on the first time, they were so impressed with how smoothly the optic, this is really well organized. And I go, well, yeah, all of us volunteers have shifts that for whatever job that we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to do, and everybody does it. And it was like when it came down to teardown, there was the teardown team and the football team was there. I mean, it was just like clockwork. And when shifts changed in the middle of the picnic, it was like, okay, it was just like clockwork.
Yeah, we were fortunate. This year we had 3 football teams. Last year we had 2, but this year we added a third. We added the Port Edwards football team on setup along with the Assumption team. And during the night we had LHS football players coming off a 3-hour practice in that heat to help us take down tables and chairs. And that was pretty amazing for them to come out and help us in that way. But it was Jenny's first picnic this year.
Okay, so let's go.
Let's hear what she has to say.
Okay, yeah, I'm interested because I did talk to some first-time picnic goers when I was doing my MC work. So what's your impression?
I was in awe, I think, from the entire process of watching the lead-up and the preparation to the volunteer training and then just the community coming out. There were people ready and putting up their chairs an hour before the picnic started. And just the excitement and, you know, like Corey said, the community and meeting your neighbors and spending time with your neighbors was just, you know, I'm also new to this community, so it was just nice to see that and be a part of that.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and folks can donate for next picnic. You could stop by the Encourage office and say, well, here's some money for next year's picnic. Oh, yeah, and here's something for the Teen Fireworks Committee. What? I mean, it's your Encourage is you.
Exactly. And so our hope is each year we're continuing to see the growth of this becoming, you know, fully owned by the community. And that's fabulous. So over the next couple of weeks, if you check out the Encourage website, you're going to see a lot of fabulous numbers and statistics about the picnic. Something as simple as how much garbage did we go through, but how much do we compost to make sure that our footprint is less at the end of the night. So there's a lot of different things that go into the picnic, but certainly people can donate, but they can also think about what can they bring, what's something unique. So the connections that were made that night were fabulous, between thinking about, you know, the businesses connecting with one another, thinking about how they could support each other outside of the picnic and not just at the picnic, our neighbors in the downtown who were fabulous to work with and were fabulous in understanding we're closing streets for your day, how that may affect their businesses, but offering, well, how can I support the picnic? So Moravian Church opened up their doors so that we could store egg rolls in their freezers so that they could be brought out much easier the night of the event. So there's just so many opportunities for people to give in whichever way they want and however they can.
That's it. I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah, and talent, if you got some suggestions or you just want to, hey, I want to be one of those volunteers next year. Mm-hmm. You can never, for something that big, you can never have too many volunteers.
Nope, we were taking them until the morning of, actually.
So. Yeah. Because the more hands that work, the easier the work. We're getting our monthly Encourage update. And again, they're located at 478 East Grand Avenue. That's right across from Hotel Mead. A beautiful building. You can't miss it. And their phone number is 715-423-3863. And we're visiting with Corey Anfinson and Jenny Hart talking about the community picnic. And the area where I was right by the Tribune building. The construction site, as it were.
Yeah, so if you were at the picnic, you might have seen a very large banner on the side of the building.
Yes, I did. Okay. I couldn't miss it from where I was.
Well, in case you did, or if somebody hasn't been downtown recently, we do have a large banner on the side of our building which says, Become Informed, Get Engaged. So I'd encourage, we believe that a healthy community is a community that's informed and a community that's engaged. So as part of our work with the Knight Foundation, we are trying to promote individuals in the community really thinking about information and how they access their information, what ability they have to research and find information on their own, or what resources they have to seek out. And so with that in mind, it's thinking about become informed, and then what do we do once we have information?
That's
how
right.
do we get engaged in our community and in our place? And so that banner represents, you know, our belief that to have a healthy community, you need to be informed and engaged. And so we've been working with the Knight Foundation since 2008. We've had an ongoing relationship with them, and they believe that, you know, information is vital to a healthy community as well. So it's a great partnership. And most recently, we've been working with the Knight Foundation with 3 other foundations. It was called the Deep Dive. And so we were really exploring human-centered design process. So really what that means in a nutshell is really putting people at the center of all that you do. And at Encourage, we've always done that. So this was just an opportunity for us to hone in a little bit and learn some new skills. And for the other foundations, it was to really think about how they can use human-centered design process or work. So thinking about the person who's going to be using something.
So this is like part of the process of what's going on with the remodeling work at the Tribune.
Yeah. So if you think about the Tribune process and how that worked out, it was always about more than a building. And it was more about, you know, the folks who came to those meetings becoming informed on what do we have in the community? How do we make best decisions for this building that we're going to build and be mindful of all the options and opportunities that are made available and what's missing? And so through sharing information with one another and getting engaged in that process, we landed on what's going to be in the Tribune. So it's definitely about the Tribune process, but I encourage we use this process in all that we do.
I noticed, too, around the fence, they had some beautiful renderings of what the building will look like. People are wondering, well, what's going on here? Why is the fence? And there's going, is there anything going on with the work? What's going on? And a lot of times, the work, when you're doing a major remodeling of an older building, the stuff that seems to last forever is the inside work. And you don't see that on the outside. So you're like, what the heck's what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And you showed the renderings.
Yeah, the renderings were up on the building as we've said all along. You know, we are committed to that building. We're committed to the residents that took place, and that building will happen. But it takes some time. And so we just need to be a little patient, okay. And we're working through fund development right now to make sure that the long term that building will be sustainable as possible. But we are 100% committed that building will be done, and it will be fabulous.
Okay. Has there been an update on the timetable at all?
At this point in time, you know, we're not 100% sure because it takes time to do all that. We're hopeful maybe by 2017, but, you know, we're not guaranteeing that.
Well, yeah. Well, one thing, you got this thing called climate, upper Midwest.
Yeah. There's that.
Yeah. I've seen, well, there's been other buildings that have been remodeled that took a couple of years to do the remodeling simply mm-hmm. because of all the work and, like I said, the interior work is a lot of times. Where you run into, oh, we got to deal with this now.
So when we, you know, the picnic and we had that big, beautiful sign, you know, we asked questions at our giveaway station, which were...
I remember that.
Yeah. How well informed do you feel you are on community issues?
Right.
And what's your primary source to find out information on community issues? So we're kind of interested in exploring those questions further in the community. And one of the examples that I can give is last night we were at East Junior High talking about aquatics with our partner at WIPS. And, you know, that was to really dig deep. What do we know about what's coming? How are we getting ourselves informed? But then what do we do when we have information or when we're missing information to become engaged? So that's an example of how we're looking at residents, you know, becoming informed and engaged.
And from my viewpoint, the younger generation uses social media a lot, but then you have the older generation that's totally foreign to them, and they're more traditional media, radio, TV, newspaper. How do you combine all of that?
Absolutely. So that's what we need to dig a little deeper on and think about how are people accessing their information. You know, and we've done surveys on this before, and we've seen shifts in, you know, 4 years ago, people weren't online as much, but now we're seeing that older population is getting online. They want to see their pictures of their grandkids on Facebook, and that's a great way
yes.
for them to stay connected. But as we said, to be a healthy community, you need to be informed. And we're offering another opportunity to provide information. So I'll let Jenny share with you about our upcoming 990 workshop.
Yeah, this is an important one because people see, and there is somebody's floating around paperwork and, oh, my God, Curtis spending all this. You got to, being a nonprofit, and there's different methodologies, if that's the proper term. So why don't we start there? What are we talking about? People here, Form 990.
Sure. So the Form 990 is the tax form that almost every nonprofit and foundation needs to fill out and file with the IRS every year. And so we are going to take this opportunity to have A partner of ours, the Council on Foundations, which is the trade association for foundations nationally, and they have a very strong legal team. And their council is going to be coming to town to do an information session about the Form 990 and about foundations in general, the different types of foundations and best practices in philanthropy. We've done sessions like this in the past, and it's just an opportunity to inform local nonprofits, local foundations, others that are just interested in nonprofits and philanthropy to just learn more about what we have to do to keep our IRS status and how to operate up to the code.
Okay, and then how do you read those forms? Because they don't people try to read them or report on them like a traditional business type of form, and it doesn't equate. And it's kind of hard for... And first off, when is this workshop going
to
be?
So it's going to be next Thursday, August 18th, from 11 to 1 at the Hotel Mead. And we ask those that are interested to RSE to encourage. It is free of charge, but we are offering lunch, so it would be great to have a head count ahead of time so that we can have the right amount of food. But to your point, yes, we will be discussing, you know, what information is included in the 990, what information is not, and where else you might seek other reliable sources of information to make a determination about an organization. And also what it means when you look at organizations side by side. Is that a fair comparison, or what are those differences and what does that mean?
Yeah, because it's kind of complicated sometimes. Yeah, a number may say, oh, well, geez, that's outrageous or something. But no, let's look at what's behind that number. And then when you understand that, oh, okay, that's not that. It's just a different way of accounting for it because it's a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. Correct. These are the Form 990 audited financials, other impact information, the whole suite, and we just want people to be able to understand what this form tells you and what it does not.
Yeah. So that way, when someone starts ranting and raving, you can go, excuse me, I've went to a workshop and I know what that means, and here's what this says and what it doesn't say. This is comparing apples to apples and not apples to oranges. That's important because, like I said, my wife's got the accounting degree, and I do know enough that accounting for a for-profit business and a non-profit organization or foundation is two different animals. There's two different. So this is an important workshop to get people to understand what these forms are, and regardless of whatever foundation or any philanthropic organization that they might want to contribute to or get involved with. Hey, can I? When they hand them their 990, you know what you get looking at. So this is, again, give the dates again.
It's Thursday, August 18th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Hotel Mead.
And please, lunch is so RSVP, so they have enough food for everybody. And again, the presenter will be?
Her name is Laura Kalwinski, and she's the Senior Counsel for Compliance and Policy at the Council on Foundations,
which is the big national trade group. Okay. So that would be, if you got the time and the time to get some very good information. And then you can be informed about your foundation or any other foundation you're involved with. Looking back at the last week with the community picnic, first off, one of the things I pointed out, and it was also pointed out, that was a annual meeting. People go, why is this picnic happening in the first place? Well, as I understand it, I remember the original annual meetings at Hotel Mead, and then there was a member or somebody within Encourage or a major supporter of Encourage that remembered the days of an old-fashioned community picnic. And they wanted, why don't we do that instead of this boring meeting at a hotel?
Yeah, and you know, our organization is committed to transparency, so all of our 990 and other financial information can be accessed online, as well as people are always welcome to stop by Encourage or give us a call, and we would share information with anyone. And realizing that, you know, our our annual meeting used to only serve, 300 people at Hotel Mead, right?
Right.
And what a better way for us to think about serving all the community and sharing in our celebration of our community assets by hosting a community picnic. It reached 7,000 people this year. So from 300 to 7,000, I would say that that was the right move to make.
I would say so, too.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, you got people and empowered. When people volunteer and do this, they feel empowered, and I'm sure that's the feedback you've been getting from your volunteers.
Right. And, one of the things that's really important to remember, Carl, is that when we don't know our neighbors and we don't know who lives in this place, how can we make decisions and move forward and grow our economy if we don't know those people? We can't reach our potential without knowing each other and having connections and relationships. That's where the community picnic starts. It starts connections, it starts relationships, and it's going to grow the economy.
Well, I'm trying to do my part by telling folks, hey, you've heard me reading off this list of community supporters, some of whom are businesses. Well, maybe in turn, support that business.
Absolutely.
And let them know, hey, I'm supporting you. I was at the I heard your name read off. And I stopped by your stand or whatever. And, hey, you support the community, I'm going to support you.
Absolutely. If you're interested in knowing who supported the community picnic, I believe we'll have all this information online. We're working through some last-minute picnic cleanup still. But, like I said, we had over 61 partners in the community picnic. And we would love for attendees, next time you stop at Shawley's for lunch, thank them for coming out and supporting the community picnic. There's so many opportunities to say to those who contributed, and it wouldn't just be encouraged saying thanks. We would love for the community to do that as well.
That's it. To say thank you. That's two of the most powerful and underused words in the English language, is the term thank you. And I thanked encouraging the community for allowing me to yak into a microphone for a few hours. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I had a ball. And we were having fun behind, again, the way that the musicians were coming in. And it was kind of fun in between. Rick Merton came up to me. You look like you need a little cooling. And he had a fan with water. Then he pointed out, Colonel, there's the beer stand. Okay.
Uh-oh. Yeah, we did go through quite a bit of beverages that night because of the weather. We had 6,240 bottles of water. We had 3,500 bottles of juice, which was donated by Ocean Spray. And we went through half barrels of local beer. So we had Point and Oso beer on tap. And it was about perfect time. I think we ran out of beer about 7:30. So it was the perfect time for that.
About the time of that, I was on a bottle of water that I was drinking and pouring over me.
Yeah, it was pretty warm.
But it was a lot of fun.
It was. And, there's so many other opportunities for people to, continue being informed and getting engaged. So the 990 workshop is an upcoming event, but you're welcome to always go out to the Encourage website, and we list all of the events that we're working on out there at all times, so people can stay informed by reviewing our website, but get engaged by coming to those events.
You're on Facebook, you're on YouTube, you're on Twitter.
Yeah, we try to be everywhere.
Okay. So, there's plenty of ways. And Knight, for those who wonder about the Knight Foundation, that is a company involved in the publishing business.
Yeah, so the Knight Foundation is really used to be involved in communications and media and journalism.
Right.
And so we got connected to them, about 8 years ago when we were thinking about information in our community. And so we formed a connection with them to think about information flow. And we learned a lot through that process, which, it has helped inform a lot of how we share information. Where do we share information? How do we put information out there for others to access? And we learned through that process that accessibility is a huge issue, and we need to make sure providing opportunity for everyone.
Well, it was fun, and this has been informative. That's a hope for a good turnout for that workshop. And I thank you, ladies, for this monthly Encourage update.
Thanks, Carl.
And that's Corey Anfinson and Jenny Harms with your monthly Encourage update. And that's going to do it for the Morning Magazine on AM 1320 and WFHR.com. It's been brought to you by Comfort.